we're up to Pasuk Tesvav. Pasuk Tesvav. Safku Olayich Kapayim Kol Oivri Derech. Safku means to clap. They clapped against you. Kapayim. Kapayim means their hands. Kol Oivri Derech. All the people who passed by on the road. Sharku, they hissed. Vayoniu Roisham, and they wave their heads. They wave their heads back and forth. Albas Yerushalayim, concerning Yerushalayim, the maiden Yerushalayim, and they said as follows: Hazos Ha'ir, is this the city Shayimu Klilas Yoifi Masois Kol L'Chol Aretz? Is this the city that it was said about it? It was the perfection of beauty. Klilas comes from the word Kol. Kol means everything. So when we take the word kol and we add another lamed and a saf, it adds a great degree of emphasis. It puts the word kol on steroids, which means the total perfection of beauty. Mesos l'chol aretz, it is the joy. It is the joy l'chol for the entire world. Okay, so what does this pasuk mean? So let's first take a look at the Rashi. Rashi pasuk tezvav safku alech kapayim. Safku means to clap. Kol oivrech sharku means to hiss. Rashi says it means nefeach bepiv. It means to blow with your mouth, an expression of blowing. And obviously, when you blow, it makes noise. And Rashi quotes this word sibler blas. V'derech adam. When does a person hiss? V'derech adam lasas kain haroye davar choshev shechar v'chola. A person to do this when he sees something that is choshev that has been destroyed. It's an expression of bewilderment or amazement. How could it possibly be this thing which once upon a time was the greatest of the great has fallen to such a low? It's an expression of shock or derision or a way of mockery. Klilas yoifi, kol hayoifi hoya shalom. This is a very powerful expression. I don't know the depth of what Rashi means. Obviously, Rashi here means something very deep. All of the yoifi in the world belong to Yerushalayim. Klilas. Klilas is the perfection, the totality. The totality, all yoifi in the world was derived from the yoifi, the beauty of Yerushalayim. Bayechulu was complete, was perfected. Bayechulu was perfected. So it represents the completeness. Okay, now let's take a look over here at, before we go for this thing, let's discuss, let's first do the Targum. Pasuk Tezvav, Safku, Olayich Yideihem. Safku means to clap. This is translation for Safku. They clap their hands against you. Kol Oivrei Orcha, all those that passed on the road. Shiriku, they hissed. Besif, Vas Hoin, make believe the samach is a sin, which means good morning, which means with their lips they hiss with taltilu v'rei shehoin, and they move. They will metaltel. They move their hands back and forth. Al kinishta de Yerushalayim, concerning the assembly of Yerushalayim, amaru b'flum hoin, they said with their mouth, hadok can it really be? He karta the havi amin av hoson dilivi kadmon. Now here the Targum adds in something very important. Our forefathers. Is this really the city that our forefathers said about it? We had a reputation from time immemorial that this city is our forefathers dilivi kadmin. Dihi gimiras noyi. It is the gimiras means the gemar means the completion, which I guess in this context means like we said before the perfection of beauty. Ushufra chedva. And shufra means beauty, different expressions. Gimiras, no'i, v'shufra. Chedva and joy, l'chol yasvei ara, and joy to the, that's the word masos, for all of the people who live on the entire world. Okay, so just a few short things in this pasuk. Number one is, what is the you know, we have clapping their hands? Clapping their hands. So here it is, clapping their hands in a form of derision. We know that when we shake, why do we shake hands? There's a custom among us, among the world, to shake someone's hands. Where does it come from? So the Mefarshim say, I don't know the depth of how the Makaris of this idea is that in the hand there are 15 parts. The thumb has two, and they correspond to the 15 words of. They correspond to what happened? Was it turn? Just turn it. Let's go. Let's leave it. It's good. It corresponds to the 15 words of Birchas Kohanim. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha yo'er Hashem ponav elecha v'chunako yiso Hashem ponav elecha v'yasim l'cha. What?
3, 5, 7.
Shalom. Besides 3, 5, 7, how many parts?
3, 5, 7.
For a total of 15. And how many parts are there on the hand in total? Parts of the finger? 14. The thumb has 2. and the other four fingers have three, that's 14, and then number 15 is the palm is shalom. So when you give someone, you say, oh, shalom aleichem. What are you doing when you sing shalom aleichem? You're connecting your palm with their palm, and you close. What you're doing is peace, peace. This peace to me may there be peace to you, and the other person in return responds, may there be peace to you.
Why do
Goyim do it? They take it from us.
Carrying a weapon.
Yeah, right. Okay. The hands are empty. You have no weapons. Okay, but keep your hands where I can see. Isn't that what the police says? Keep your hands where you can see. That's what they teach law enforcement. Sakana. But in addition to the simple interpretation of Ayin Panim Atara, like I told you, is this idea Chassidus Shavar, which really has no makar, or maybe it has makar, I do not remember, but there is such a concept of you shake hands, and what you're doing is shalom. You're giving shalom aleichem. The hand is very holy, and the hand represents all the brachos, and it's shalom. Here, when you do it with derech nimus in a distinguished way, you shake hands. Ah, very good. Peace onto you. When you clap your hands in derision, you're saying, "May your peace come to an end. Good riddance. May you be destroyed." It's a form of mockery, heckling. Heckling was that only with the mouth or with the hand? With the mouth. Okay, that's only with the mouth. But making sounds by clapping, and we clap, we applaud. Okay, so applause. I don't know why we applaud. But that's another thing. But here, it's obviously being done in a mocking way, in a derisive way. You're banging your hands against another. You're saying the peace that exists. What's Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is Yira. Malkit Tzedek Melech Sholem. Yerushalayim is the place of Sholem. By banging, there's nothing here that needs to be done. Okay, now as far as the Sharku means to hiss. Hiss is the Koyach Hadibur, and it's a. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he blew into man's nostrils the Ruach HaChayim, the spirit of life. Ruach HaKodesh. When a person takes the Ruach, the Targum says on that Pasuk, Vayihi hodem l'ruach nemalalos, speech, Koyach HaDibor. The Koyach HaDibor is a consequence, is an outgrowth of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has breathed into man Ruach HaKodesh. Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim is the place of Ruach HaKodesh. When the Goyim come and they hiss, they blow with their mouth, they make sounds, and they blow. Rashi says, to blow. Rashi says, Nefeach Befif. Who was the one that was the first one to blow life into man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayipach Ba'apav. And what was the result? The result was a beautiful, eloquent speech. L'ruach nimala, v'yihi adam l'ruach nimala, man had the koyach adibur, eloquence. We are mispal on the yom l'roim, the long tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us eloquence. The old different expressions in the... Even more, there are other many expressions, the Nusach HaTil and the Yom Naram. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for eloquence. The Koyach HaDibur should be enhanced, should be magnified. Here, when the Goyim see our Churban, they take the Koyach HaDibur that comes with blowing, and they use it in a mocking way. You're nothing. You claim to have the Koyach HaDibur, you claim to have the Ruach HaKodesh, you have absolutely nothing. Hissing, hissing. That's a deeper meaning of what's taking place here with the word sharku. And then we have the word, and also, by the way, it's the letters, the last letters of the Aleph Beis, the left letters of the Aleph Beis going backwards. The Koyach HaDibur is all built upon the building block of Seder, Aleph Beis, in the order, at least for us, is Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Here we're going backwards. We're going from Shin to Reish to Kuf. It's also part of the idea is the Koyach HaDibur, which is built upon a Seder, a proper order, it's being destroyed, it's being undone. The Koyach HaDibur is going backwards from the last letters of the Aleph Beis. Here we don't have the Tav, but we have at least the second to last, the Shin, the Reish, the Kuf. The Koyach HaDibur is being diminished, and the way we indicate that is by making an annoying sound. Hissing, a hissing sound is obviously very unsettling. It's very disturbing, because that's not the Koyach HaDibur. The Koyach HaDibur is meant to be pleasant, eloquent. It's meant to go, at least symbolically, forward. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Here it's going backwards, Shin Reish Kuf. Vayenir Rosham Ke, they would move their heads back and forth. Oive, I don't know the deep. There's obviously a deep meaning of what it means. Vayenir Rosham, Rosham did not see anything over here. What the significance of waving their head back and forth? Albas Yerushalayim. When they say the word Hazos, we hear there are a number of midrashim that elaborate. They chose the word Hazos very precisely because they're very well aware of our legacy. The Zois HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael Pi Hashem Aviad Moshe. We know, we say that. That's not a possible. That's a composite of Pesukim. But Torah is called the Zois HaTorah. They knew that the legacy of Klal Yisrael is the Torah, on which every Jew, they come and they see the Torah, they pick up their finger and they point, either with this finger, that finger, all different types of fingers you can use to point. The Zois HaTorah. So here in a mocking way, Hazois Ha'ir, you claim to be a city of Torah, a city of Kedusha and integrity and so on and so forth. Really? Look what has become of you. Yeah.
Very similar to what we had in Rus.
Hazos Naomi, and in fact, that's what the Medrash actually cross references that pasuk. But there they cross reference more a matter of an expression of shock. It's the ultimate shock. Hazos Naomi. We mentioned from the Zohar that was one of the most powerful. I felt for myself one of the most powerful messages of Sefer Rus. Sefer Rus was from the Zohar. What do you take away from Sefer Rus? A woman upon whom the whole Klal Yisrael said, Hazos Naomi. They wrote her off, finished, fall from grace to nothing. And yet from her, look what happened. Came Melech HaMashiach. The lesson is never be miyayish. No matter how bad you feel, no matter how desperate, how bleak the matzav is, and you feel like you're in a matzah of hazos, could it really be such a thing? You never know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can restore you to a state of greatness. And here as well, hazos, they're mocking Klal Yisrael, you pride yourself in the Torah. Hazos, zois ha-Torah, shasem ha-Yisha, can it really be you have sung in? Another midrash says, zois refers to the avoid of the Kohanim. It was a place of Kedusha, Kedusha Tzfila. It's the kibesi based Tzfila l'chol ha-Amin. And the climax of the Tzfila is when the Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh Kadosh Yom Kippurim once a year, bezois yovai aroi nela kodesh, to communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom Kippurim, moichel the avonos of Klal Yisrael. Really, Hashem is moichel you for your sins. Really, Aaron went in the Kodesh Hakadoshim, the Kohen Gadol, to ask for mechila. If Hashem really was moichel you, how could it happen that Klal Yisrael has fallen from grace, has sunk to such a low level where they are conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and people are dying and starving in the streets? Soir, it's a form of mockery that's done with precision. Shayamu klilas yoifim asoyis. Now it says here klilas of the perfection of yoifim asoyis luchalar. So someone told me, actually, I was talking to someone this morning. I mean, I asked them to tell me a good word on this pasuk I can say over today. So right away he told me that it says in Chazal, Masayis, the Yishai Lenshitz. You know Yishai Lenshitz is? He's a son. He told me the following word. You know, so he told me the following word. He says, Masayis kol aretz, Miklilas Yoifi. Why is Yerushalayim called Klilas Yoifi, Masayis kol aretz? So the Gemara, I don't know where the Gemara is. The Gemara says that there was a kippah outside of Yerushalayim. And when it was April 15th, and you're an American citizen, have a passport, and you have to do your taxes for America, and you're living in Eretz, so you're retired, and you're living in Yerushalayim, and it's April 15th, and you have to do your taxes, you're not allowed to do your taxes in Yerushalayim. They have a tax day in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael? I'm sure the state of Israel has a tax day, no?
Probably.
Anyone here know anything about taxes?
Every day
is tax day. Okay, but whenever the deadline is, you're not allowed to make the calculations for your taxes or your monetary matters in Yerushalayim, because you may discover that you're in the red. You may discover you have money problems, and that will bring agmas nefesh.
And there's something called the taxation.
Where else?
It's no longer there. Maybe their whole building has been done by Palace Hotel, right?
Okay, but there is this idea of that when you make monetary calculations, the Gemara says you're not allowed. Chazal were misakin, and it is forbidden to make the calculations in Yerushalayim because it's inevitable you're not going to be happy. You're going to be sad.
So no,
you're going to be sad because either you're going to owe money or you're not going can have as much money as you thought you'd had. So there was a special keeper, a special dome, a special building outside of Yerushalayim where you were required to go when you made your calculations. So there should be no sadness in Yerushalayim. And Chazal say that's why it's called Klilas Yoifi. That's why it's called the Mesos. I should really say the Mesos, the joy. Why is it called the Mesos? Joy? Because it's not a place that tolerates sadness. And money is honey. But money can bring a lot of agmas nefesh. And therefore you have to make the calculations outside Yerushalayim. So he said to me as follows. This is what he said. He says he's very deep idea. So he said, he told me that's what it says in the Gemara, no cheshbonus, but the Darshanim elaborate that what it means, no cheshbonus, means you don't make cheshbonus against the Ribbonus Shel Olam. Yerushalayim is a place, the Gemara is giving it's a mashal. You don't make cheshbonus with monetary matters, but sometimes a person makes cheshbonus against the Ribbonus Shel Olam. Why does my friend have more than me? Why is he successful? Why are his children have more children, less children? They're successful. I'm not successful. His children are successful. A person is always in the habit of making calculations against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why me? Why him? Yerushalayim is a place where you're not allowed to make these calculations. You have to have in Yerushalayim emuna pshuta, faith, blind faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is what is meant for you. It is the Mesos Kol Haaretz. And that's why you leave, going out to the keeper to make your financial calculations is meant to be, according to this idea, is meant to remind the person, the same way you leave Yerushalayim to make your cheshbonos and dinim lemoinos. Don't make any cheshbonos against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yerushalayim. Don't start thinking, why him, why not me, why don't I have a parnasa, why do I have this problem, that, and so on and so forth. So he said, at this point in time when the Churban was taking place, part of the Churban was people were starving in the street, people were bitter, people were complaining, people were angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did this happen? So that's exactly what the Umos Olam said. Is it really true? We know about Yerushalayim. It's a place of Emunah Pshuta. You have a reputation from our forefathers. We have from our forefathers. That's what the Targum says. That Yerushalayim is the Mesos Kol Haaretz. The people who live here have no complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have no tainus, no complaints, no tarumas. It's the Mesos Kol Haaretz. Really? We come into Yerushalayim, no one's a happy camper here. Everyone has complaints. Everyone is fighting and complaining. Sinas chinam. Why you? Why not me? Really? There's no sinas chinam among you? It's the Mesos. I don't see. Sinas chinam is the opposite of the Mesos. Call us. When you have a complaint against your friend, that's where all the sinas chinam begins to take root and to spread. Okay, I think it's a good idea. This is from Yishai Lynch. It's a very beautiful idea to explain Shah and his pasuk. He was in the parallel class. So when you taught me math, there were two sixth grades. So did you teach both sixth grades? Only one sixth grade? So then I don't think you had him. Because he was not in his father is a Rebbe, father Baruch Hashem as well. He's still a Rebbe. He's not full time now, he's the partially retired. Okay, could be, but you didn't teach me in seventh. That's why I'm here today. If I would have had a good teacher, I would have got a PhD in math. I would have had some lucrative job. Who knows? Who knows? What? Chaim Berlin. Who knows where I would have been today? It's coming to haunt me. The eggs are coming to roost. What? You don't know. Little things in life, you don't know where they take you. Okay, what? Yes, his father is one of the biggest experts. Rabbi Lenchitz's father, Rabbi Chaim Lenchitz, one of the biggest experts on Diktuk. He wrote a...
Also a master's in engineering.
And he has a master's?
Yes.
He has a master's in engineering from where? I never heard that all the years. Okay, whatever. Whatever. He's a brilliant, brilliant...
He wanted to be a Rebbe, yeah. And not an engineer, so he grew a beard.
Okay, whatever. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. Does not need my Haskamah, that's for sure. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Tezayin. Let's go now to Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin is from the Moor.
Why does it go from Pei to Ayin?
Oh, that's what we do now. Rashi quotes that. Okay, Pasuk Tezayin. Patsu. Now everything here in the Eicha is all based upon the letters of the Aleph base. The totality of Chorban, the totality of Avelus, that's itself an idea why things are arranged according to the letters of the Aleph base. But here is the first time where we deviate from the Seder of the Aleph base. It's reversed. It's not like Ashrin. Ashrin we just left out. We left out the Nun. The Nun is left out, and we go to the Samach. We allude to it, Samach Hashem L'chol Hanoifim, so we add the Nun there to allude to what we have left out, but the Nun has been left out. Here, we don't leave it out. Instead, we go in reverse order. Let's see first the two psukim, then we'll discuss the idea. Patsu Aleihem Alayich. You want to sit over here? Or whatever?
Sit over here.
No, it's okay. There's enough room. Patsu. Patsu Alayich Pihem. They jeered. Patsu means to open up wide. Call Oyevaich, all of your enemies. Now, this seemingly is almost the same thing as the previous pasuk, which we'll explain in one moment. But let's just first read the pasuk. So, patsu means they opened up wide. Olaich, against you, pihem their mouths. Call Oyevaich, well, hissing, we have that's the word shoku. Shoku means to hiss. Patsu means to open up wide. Okay, we did not have that in the previous pasuk. I'm sorry, the previous pasuk, we just had the word shoku. Here it's patsu. Patsu, what is the time? Patsu means to, what does the Rashi say? What? No, I'm not sure.
Ibn Ezra says,
it means to open. Pasku, the Targum says, pisochu. It means to open. They opened up wide. Olaich against you, PM.
It's kind of like to burst open. Like the tzah. The word split open somebody's head.
To split open. Okay, here in the art scroll they translated jeered.
Yeah.
Okay, jeered, which means sound. It has a connotation of sound. To open, the parts of the earth opened up, broke open. To open wide. Olaich pihem, against your mouth, call oyevach, all of your enemies. Sharku, the same word we had before, to hiss. To make sounds, vayacharku shein, gnash. They put your teeth together and grind them one against the other. It's a form of mockery. You take your teeth and you grind your teeth. Dentists always warning people: don't grind your teeth. Vayacharku shein, to grind their teeth one against the other. Amru, they said, bilonu, we have swallowed them up. We have succeeded in swallowing up the nation, the Jewish people. Ach, indeed. Ach means, here means indeed. Zehayom, this is the day, referring to Tisha B'Av, Shekivinuhu, that we have yearned for. We have yearned for this day since time and world when we can prevail upon our enemy, the Jewish people. Motsanu, we have found it. Motsanu means it's better than we expected. Mitzia, there's a Mitzia and there is an Aveda. A person does not expect to find the Mitzia. When you go into the street, that's the last thing you think about, you're going to find on the floor $1 million. It's not what you expect. You work to accomplish. But a Mitzia is something you do not expect. So here they're saying is that the results are better than our wildest expectations. We thought that we'll go to war with the Jewish people, we'll succeed, we'll conquer, there'll be casualties. But wow, look at the casualties, look at our success. It's more than we expected, and that's why they use the word Matsunu, we have found it, Re'inu, and they also say we merited to see it. We never thought that we would see their downfall, maybe our children, our grandchildren, our grandchildren, but we and ourselves. These are very powerful words. Now the key to these words of the entire pasuk is the word Oyevaich, your enemies. In the previous pasuk, we also have ideas, they have the same thing. We have Sofku Olaich Kapayim, and we have Sharku. And Vayinu Roisham. We have also different expressions in the previous pasuk. But the difference is there, it's not our enemies. Those are people of Kol Oivrei Derech. There are two different categories. There's a build-up, there's a climax. There are Oivrei Derech, people who are generally indifferent. Tourists, people who live in the neighboring countries, they really don't care. They don't care about Eretz Yisrael. They don't do business. They read about it on the news. They're not our friends, but they're not our enemies. Yet, even though they're not our enemies, they still take pleasure. They still take pleasure in seeing our downfall. Then there is a category of...
The people who write the history books.
Okay, they're there. They're called the Oivrei Derech. They just pass, people who pass by. And their degree of hatred for us is pretty intense. Let's not make any mistake about that. But it's only in the category of Sofku Alayich Kapayim. It's Sharku Vayoniu Roshan. The enemies, our arch enemies, they are in a different category. Their satisfaction is potsu. Potsu is a much greater type of derision. It's they open up wide their mouths. And sharku, I'm assuming that the sharku, it's the same word, but either when there's this hiss that is accompanied by an open mouth, it's more intense. And furthermore, the next words, vayacharku, shame, the gnashing of the teeth, and the expressions that they say, the horrible things that they say, bilanu, and zehayom shekivinuhu, motsonu reinu, these are very harsh expressions which only are true for the outright open arch enemies of Klal Yisrael. Let's see the Pasuk design in the Rashi, Patsu alayich pihem, mibnei ma, now Rashi right away goes to the point and he takes note that in the rear Pasuk design, the letters of the Aleph Beis are out of order. Why is the paper for the ayin? Now Rashi doesn't exactly say who this refers to. So the simple interpretation is referring to the Meraglim. It's Nida Kineged, it's Gmorim Sechas Sanhedrin. Rashi seems to be going from Gmorim Sanhedrin, which says this idea that the Meraglim, they put their peh before the ayin. They said things that they did not see. They made claims about Eretz Yisrael that there's no way we can conquer the land. The land is occupied by giants. The cities are fortified.
The Torah says over there is Vani Beinenu Kacha Gotin. That's the Pasuk he quotes. That's the only thing that they could possibly have said that was accurate, because they can't know what somebody else is seeing through their
thinking.
On that Pasuk.
Wow, okay. So they're saying that we were in their eyes like...
So he said that was the lie.
That was the lie.
Everything else was true, but that was they embellished and they got into trouble.
They said something that was not... How could you say what someone else is seeing? Someone else sees, you don't know what they're thinking. So that's what we focus on by the Meraglim. And therefore, Mamela, what is thinking? Because the thinking comes through the eyes. The information is processed through the eyes. And therefore, they said what was not true. That's we allude to that by saying, Nida Kineged Nida. That is why here in this Pasuk, Potsu Aleich Pihem, we put the pay before the ayin to allude to this idea. Now, someone told me, Rabbi Shai Lench also, he told me very revised, and what is Pshan this Pasuk? Give me something much deeper. So he told me a very beautiful idea. He says, if you look in the Nishmas on Shabbos, he told me only in the Nusach Sard, it says, Ki Chol Peh L'cho Yodeh, every mouth to you will give thanks. V'chol l'shon l'cho sishava. V'chol ayin l'cho tetzapeh. I don't think we say that in Nusach Ashkenaz, right? V'chol l'cho tetzapeh. So he says this expression, Nishmas, is very holy Nusach, is coming to define for us the essence, at least the symbolic essence of the various organs. The eyes, the eye represents yearning, tzipia. It's like tzipisa li Yeshua. One of the questions they asked the person, Nachamei v'Eshem and Shemayim, tzipisa li Yeshua. Did you yearn for salvation? What did you look forward? What part of the body is associated with this concept of yearning? So if you wouldn't see this inside, you would say, I don't know, it's the mind. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily associate the heart. You would not necessarily associate it with a particular organ. But that's not so. Chazal, the one who wrote, who was Masada this Nusach, he says that the peh is the part, the peh is the yoideh, the lashon, the essence is the swear, the ayin is titzah, it goes on and on, there's the berech, l'chotichra, l'chokula, all the different expressions, but the eye is associated with tzipis, with yearning. So he explained to me that what was the chesaron, the problem with the Meraglim. The Meraglim had no desire to go into Eretz Yisrael. They had no Sipisa li Yeshua. There was no yearning. They were very happy. Living in the Midbar was comfortable. In the Midbar, you have the Mon, you have the Be'er, the Anani HaKavos, there's Koilel, everything was taken care of. Eretz, who needs Eretz Yisrael? You can live in the Midbar. You don't have to change your clothes. Everything, it was a good life. It was a good life in the Midbar. There was no Tzipisa li Yeshua. There was no yearning. In Golas, that's the Chasaron and the Kinnis. Talk about this all over the Kinnis, is that don't get too comfortable in Golas. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Klal Yisrael, they're too comfortable in Golas, Rachmana Litzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes us up. We don't belong in Chutz Yaretz. We're not here to build mansions in Chutz Yaretz. Our place is in Eretz Yisrael. This is not where we belong. And if we get too comfortable in Golas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes us up. He sends things. In Germany, they never imagined in a million years that they never imagined that the Nazis would come to power and would do to the Jews in Germany. The Jews in Germany, they built Germany. The whole, they contributed to the country in ways far beyond their natives. The natives, so how you talking? And whatever happened, such a thing that there would become a Holocaust. How you talking? And you get too comfortable. Now that's the reason the Holocaust. I don't mean to say, don't get me wrong. No one knows why the Holocaust happened. But I'm just Chazal. I'll say it's not comfortable, it's not good to get too comfortable. There has to be a Tzipisa li Yeshua. The Meraglim were the ones that had no Tzipisa li Yeshua. The I, what it means, they put their pe before the I. They said things because they had no desire to go into the land. The I, Rabbi Vadevsky told us, Pshat. This is Jush. The Pshat is, they said that the giants, they saw through their eyes that we're cockroaches or ants. We're in the Molim. Okay. We're grasshoppers. Chagovim. But, get that Pshat. But on a deeper level, they put their peh before their own eye. What is the eye? Tzipisa li Yeshua. I don't want to go to, oh, you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Okay. Then, Mimela, you're going to find the excuse. You're going to say things that are incorrect in order to avoid going. And that's why here we're being politely reminded here in this pasuk that the peh came before the eye. All of this happened to us because we really did not yearn for Yerushalayim, for Eretz Yisrael, the way that we should have. Okay, now another interesting question. Over here is learning Perek Beis. Everything until the end of Eicha is according to the letters of the Aleph Beis. So Perek Beis, the Ayin goes before the Pei. I'm sorry, the Pei before the Ayin. In Perek Gimel, Yirmiyah did exactly the same thing. He put the Pei before the Ayin. Perek Dalid, he did the same thing. In other words, this idea is going to carry us through the entire Sefer, or most of the Sefer. So the question then is, why didn't Yirmiyah, for the sake of completion, for the sake of perfection, do the same thing in Perek Aleph? In Perek Aleph, there are 22 Pesukim, ordered according to the letters of the Aleph, and there it is in order. Why didn't Yirmiyah in Perek Aleph rearrange the order? So the Mefarshim answered, because if Yirmiyah would, now this touches upon a fascinating topic in and of itself, whoever told us the Seder of the Aleph base? We know the Iker comes from the Torah. The Torah, Chamishe Chumshe Torah. We have Nevi'im, that's another Madrega. We have Kesuvim, another Madrega. But how do you know? Someone will say to you, prove to me that the letters of the Aleph base, there are 20. First of all, prove to me that there are 22 letters in the Aleph base. Well, that's easy. The Torah. What?
Anyway, the Torah, were there all letters in the order?
No. In the Torah? No. That's my question. No. Nowhere in the Torah. Not to my knowledge. No. Nowhere in the Torah. Nowhere in the Torah. Nowhere in the Chumash. Now you'll tell me, how do you know there are 22 letters of the Aleph Beis? Well, in the Torah, they count the letters. I mean, go study the entire Torah. You'll only discover 22 letters.
22 symbols.
The only two symbols in the Torah. Okay, so we know there are 22 letters. Okay, but that's just, it's the same thing. In fact, Chazal say that originally they it wasn't even Ma'akev. It wasn't even Ma'akev. The Nun Afuch was a symbol. Okay, that's tradition. I don't even know if it's Ma'akev. You don't have the Nun Afuch and say, is it possible? I'm not even so sure it's possible. Is it possible? Okay, but that's certainly not Ma'akev. Okay, whatever it is. So we know there are 22 letters. But how do you know, who told you that there's a say there to the Aleph base? Prove it to me. What? So how does he know, the kindergarten teacher? Prove it. It's a good question, right? So the answer is, well, in Tehillim, well, I think if I'm not mistaken, the only source is Tehillim and Mishle. We learn Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech, Eishes Chayil Miyamsa. Seder. Women, they have an order. Everything has to be in order. Shape up or ship out. Right? You follow you. What? Yeah. David, oh, David, so Nechanami Tehillim, Mizmor Kuf Yotes. There are another, there are a whole bunch of them. There are a whole handful. There must be five Mizmor Tehillim. Someone told me. But if I'm not mistaken, it's only to be found in Ksuvim, in the Megillos and Ksuvim. If I'm not mistaken, it's not even found in the Neviim. Is there anywhere in Navi that it's found in the letters of the Alephase? I don't think so. So we know that Ksuvim, according to the Radak, and this is a discussion in and of itself, which we once spent time on, is Ksuvim is Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is not prophecy. Prophecy is a direct link, direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Torah, Torah is mamish from HaShemayim mamish. Chamish Chumshei Torah, at least the four Chumashim, it's mamish from Shemayim. Chumash Devarim, it's the next best thing. Moshe Rabbeinu Pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Neviim, okay, it's not the Asplaknaria Hami'ira, but it's good enough. It's a direct link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kesuvim, it's a different category. Kesuvim is Ruach HaKodesh. It was authored by Neviim, by David, and so on and so on, but it's still Ruach HaKodesh. It's not the same Adrega. Yet, in Ruach HaKodesh, we have a tradition. We have, obviously, there is a tradition. It's a tradition through Ruach HaKodesh that there is a Seder to the letters of the Aleph Beis. And there has to be a Seder, because Chazal tells us that when he created the world, the way Hashem was by ordering, rearranging. Now you can't go and rearrange letters unless you start with a system. When you have a system of letters in order, and then you can start rearranging letters, then you can create things, whatever all of these ideas mean. But theoretically, conceptually, you have to start with a Seder, and then you can manipulate that Seder and build upon that Seder. So it's fascinating that in Tanakh, there really is no makar for the letters of the Aleph Beis. It really all boils down to tradition. Something so simple, so basic, a child, the first thing you teach a little child is the Aleph Beis. Mechateisa, you're teaching children Sheker. What are you teaching him? What are you teaching a child? You're teaching him the Seder, Aleph, Beis, Veis, Gimel, Da. How do you know that's the Seder? Av Emunah. We have tradition. It's Ruach HaKodesh. It's in Ksuvim. Mishle, David, Shlomas, later David, Tehillim. But it's not in Chumash. It's not in from the Neviim. How do we know that there is some sensitivity to this, that what we're saying is, and that's Madrego, you also, that means that when you teach a child the Aleph, Beis, what are you also teaching him? You're teaching him have Emunah in the Mesorah. You're teaching a child, the first thing you teach a child is, I'm teaching you the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis is in the Torah. God gave that. That's not my problem. But when I tell you that Beis comes after Aleph, it's Emunah. Faith in tradition. What's the Emunah? Ksuvim. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh also is not a direct link, but there's a degree, an element of Emunah. It's not, I'm saying it's not perfect.
Yeah, what do you mean Aleph Beis?
The Torah is in a category by itself.
The language they spoke was Lashon HaKodesh even before.
Okay, Enochanami, that's not a contradiction, but the Torah was something that Moshe went to Shemayim, and Moshe brought down from Shemayim. It's impossible for us human beings living in the 21st century to wrap our heads around that idea, that something is given directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't be masik. We have emunah in that as well. It also requires emunah, no question about it. But put aside the emunah, the basics. It's the Torah, the letters of the Aleph Beis are in Chamish Eichum Shei Torah. The Seder of the Aleph Beis is not in Chamish Eichum Shei Torah. It's not even in the Neviim. It's in Ksuvim. Ksuvim is a lower madrig, Ruach HaKodesh. We have Emunah that the Ruach HaKodesh is correct. And we pass that down to our children. When you teach the Seder, you're teaching a child right away. You know why Beis comes after Aleph? Because it's in Ksuvim we have Emunah. The proof that there is a weakness, which means that we have to compensate for that weakness by having emunah is Eicha. Because if Yirmiyah, and Chazal say this, if Yirmiyah had to go out of his way and write Perek Aleph in order, And then for the remaining parakim, write it out of order. Pei comes before ayin to teach us the lesson that they put their mouths before their eyes. They put their mouths, and he could not do the same thing in Perek Aleph. It's because if he would have done in Perek Aleph, we would have said that Yirmiyah had a different tradition. Yirmiyah's tradition was the pay comes before the ayin. If Yirmiyah would have been consistent in every single Perek, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, would put the pay first, the conclusion we would not have this Rashi, we would not connect this to what it says in Masechta Sanhedrin, we would say, there's a machlaikis. Everything is a machlaikis. Right? Everything. There's a machlaikis even in the Seder of the Aleph Beis. Most Rishonim say, David HaMelech had a tradition of the Aleph Beis, the pay comes before the ayin, and the ayin comes before the pay, and Yirmiyah was a bar machlekes. He disagreed. They taught me in kindergarten that the pay comes before the ayin. That would be the natural conclusion if Yirmiyah would have written even Perek Aleph out of order, in order to show that Yirmiyah says I'm masking. There is no machlekes. Hands down, I give in. My kindergarten teacher was your kindergarten teacher. We're in the same boat. But I also want to teach you a musar, a lesson, a moral lesson. Don't put your mouth before your eyes. So therefore, I'll start with this lesson, starting with Perek Beis. Okay, so this is one idea. Okay, let's see over here. So we did over here the Rashi. Let's see now the Targum. The Targum Pasuk Tes Vav. Paschu alayich pum hoin kol balei de... Tes Zayin. Paschu alayich pum hoin kol balei de vavich. They opened up their mouths against you, all of your enemies, the people who quarrel with you. Shoku, they hissed. B'sif v'ashoin with their lips. V'asiyu and asiyu, I'm assuming, I don't really know what that means. It means they gnashed, to grind. V'shinehoin with their teeth. Va'amoru, and what did they say? They said, Sheitzena, we have conquered them. We have conquered them over here, Bilonu. So Sheitzena, I don't really know what it means. It means, I'm just loosely translating the same word, Bilonu, which means to swallow. We have conquered the Jewish people. Beramdein, and therefore, this therefore, Ach is translated usually with Beram, however, or but. And here in this context, it means certainly. Zehayom dein yoyma, this day, tahaveina misinon, that we have been yearning for. Misinon means shekivinu, we have been waiting for. Finally, to be patient. Very good, to be patient. But this day, for the day that we've been finally waiting for, ashkachna chazena, we have seen it and we have found it. Matsanu means ashkach, you find it. And the word re'inu means chazenu, we have actually seen with our own eyes this event come about. Okay, now, the next pasuk goes on to say, let us read another pasuk, we'll come back and compare this pasuk to the next pasuk. The next pasuk goes on to say, Oso Hashem Asher Zomom, Hashem has brought forth, he has done what he planned. He has actually implemented his plan. Bitsa emroso means he carried out. Emroso means his amir, his decree. Bitsa means to bring forth. Bitsa, he translates here in the article to carry. We'll see the Rashi and Targum in a moment. But simply means emroso from the word amira. He brought forth his words of warning. He warned Klal Yisrael through the Nevi'im that if you do not shape up, that's later on the pasuk. Bila mimei kedem. Bitsa emraso asher tzid that he commanded mimei kedem from the words of the prophets. Horas, he demolished. V'loi chomol, and he had no compassion. Vay samach, he caused others to rejoice. Hashem does not rejoice over our downfall. Instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he caused other people to rejoice. Alaych, oyev, your enemy. Heirim, he elevated keren tzoroich, the horn, the pride. the pride and the power and the might of your enemies. Let's see, Rashi Pasuk Yitzayim Bitsa Emaso Kola Gezeroso, it came to an end. So Rashi is translating the word Bitsa to mean the end. He brought to fruition his Gezeroso. The Gezeroso was complete. Gzera, the punishment that he promised he would bring upon us was complete. That's how Rashi translates. Kolo gzera, so kimo yater yodo vayivatzeni. He opened up his hand and he finished me off. Rushing to we had that in our ear, but that's. He opened up his seat. He was mispalel. I'm sorry, let's think about it. Eve was mispalel here in this post that Hashem should let him die. Hashem should let him die. And he described, open up your hand and finish me off. Either means open up your hand and let the punishment come upon me that I can die, or release me. You're holding me back from dying, Hashem. We know that Eve, he suffered Yisurim, which Alpiderech HaTeva should have caused him to die. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented him from dying. So here he's begging Hashem, open up your hand, release me, and let my neshama be finished. Let the guf do its job, and wipe me out, and let the neshama be released. Asher tzivim mimekedem shekasa b'torah v'yosafti liyastra eschem sheva. I will add, Lashon of Hosafa, I will add upon you 7 times your sin. Sheva al chato eseichem. I'll add upon you multiple 7 sins, which represents the totality of sin. 7 oils represents the number of derech hateva. I will bring upon you enormous punishment. Okay, let's see the Targum Pasuk Yitzayin. Pasuk Yitzayin says, Avar Hashem ad choshev Hashem has done to us what He has planned. Gomar, Meimar, Pume. Gomar means it's complete. Again, so the Targum is translating the word Gomar, the word Bitsa, the same as Rashi. Complete. It has become, the cycle is complete. Or the Gzeir is complete. Bitsa, Emroso. Gomar, Meimar, Pume, Di, Fakei, Lemoshe, Neviyah. Here the Targum adds in some embellishment. The command that was given through Moshe Neviyah, the prophet, min yom kad ma'in, from the early days. The ilo, what were the words of Moshe? What was the warning of Moshe Rabbeinu from the early days? The ilo natrin b'nei Yisrael yos pikudaya da Hashem. If the Jewish people do not fulfill the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asid lehispira min hoin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them. Period. And then the Ratan goes on to say pagar. Pagar means he demolished. That's the word for haras. V'lochos had no compassion. V'echdei alaychi cause to rejoice upon you. Be'el devava, the people who fight with you. Areim yikar mein. And furthermore, areim he elevated. He elevated. He uplifted the yikar. Mi'ikayich, the honor of your enemy. So he is translated Karen according to the parish of the Targum. The word Karen means the pride, the glory, the honor. That the umos ha'olam, our enemies, are viewed in the world with honor and distinction. And therefore, and we are been humbled to a horrible state of the zionos. Yeah?
Is that referring just to the destruction of the first
base? Yes and no. The Sukkim refer really to both. They're, according to the Midrashim, they always add in the Huchanetzar. They add in the Huchanetzar, the Bayis Rishon. I mean, the Titus. Titus.
What do you think Mimei Kedem means?
Well, Mimei Kedem, you see, told me, yeah?
I think it means Marabah. Because.
Okay, very good, okay.
I
am the pain, Mimei Kedem, Ligah. So we're going back to Talmud Marabah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yom Lashon Hara. Okay. Okay, very good. In Echanami, absolutely, absolutely. So we're going back to the time of the. Okay, now there are a few short things in this pasuk I want to bring out. First of all, the Mefarshim tell us that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiloy Machshav Asai Machshav Asai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like a human being. Ruba de ruba, 99.999% of the time, a person does not fulfill his plans. Whether they're good, whether they're bad,
That's the way it is. You plan to do something and there's always going to be changes. As you proceed to implement your plan, you realize you made a mistake, you make changes. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the borrowed expression taken out of this pasuk, Aso Hashem Asher Zaman. Hashem does what He plans. When Hashem has a plan, He brings forth the plan to perfection. There are no hiccups. There are no technicalities. There are no problems that prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the plan to fruition. That's one idea.
That's because the plan and the action are same.
Enochanami, right. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is infinite. Hashem is infinite. By human beings, it's very rare does a person fulfill his plans. A person does not leave this world without even half of the things that he wants to accomplish.
That's the Gemara's answer to the Machlokes of the Lozen of Yeshua with what the world was created. Hayom HaRasolim, was it in
Nisan or Tishrei? So Hashem Machshava was in Tishrei,
yeah.
And it came forth, the
but
plan.
You could stop it, so it's considered as if
it already was in full force. Okay, now the next idea is that Pasuk Yud Zayin is a response to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Pasuk Tes Zayin says, Ach Hayom Omru. What do the nations of the world say? The nations of the world say, Bi Lonu. We have swallowed up the Jewish people. Hashem does not tolerate this lie, this outright outrageous lie. The nations of the world are just puppets in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's very strange how the pasuk changes, shifts. Psukim are shifting. Who is the speaker? Here, the nations are speaking. Amru bilanu. Hashem says, "You liars! You think you're the one who bilanu have swallowed up the Jewish people." The truth is, Oso Hashem Asher Zaman. Everything that happens to Klal Yisrael was the divine plan. Hashem has done it. Hashem only have used you, the nations of the world, as instruments, puppets in His hands to bring forth. So this pasuk Yud Zayin is a pause, is a commentary, so to speak. It's a note. It's a postscript on the running flow of the psukim. You think that you have swallowed up the Jewish people? You're nothing. It is a so Hashem Asher Zaman. Yes. That's how some of the commentators are, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to tolerate here the outrageous lie. The Umos Olam have no power to lift a finger against Klal Yisrael unless the Kadosh Baruch Hu wills that it be so. And here we make that here this is part of the Mitzias of Golas. In Golas, the Umos Olam, they think they're calling the shots. Go to a meeting in the UN and they come with some decision about making peace. And all the people come out, all smiling and taking pictures. We have accomplished. We have made peace. We have done this. We have done that. They have done nothing. It's not for them to take awards and to take, I mean, a reward for their efforts. But everything that's really happening in the big picture is all always Oso Hashem Asher Zamam. When we see in the world and we see events happen, things unfold before us, whether they're good, whether they're bad, or whether we have no clue what's the outcome, whether they're good or bad, and we hear the Umos Olam taking credit and say, this is what we have done. We've done this. We punished this one. We did that one. We did this Eretz Yisrael. The response is always, don't be fooled by what they have to say. It's Oso Hashem Asher Zaman.
That's the reason why I come before the Ayin. And this pasuk is an answer to the previous pasuk, the way you're explaining it now.
Yeah, explain. What do you mean, the Ayin and the Pei? How do you...
That could be
the two go together. The two are a set.
Yeah, but
we had to go out of order to make it clear. I'm saying another idea. We had to go, because if you would not go out of order, then you would make a mistake and you would think that it's a new idea. Like almost every pasuk have a different edition than you. Every pasuk have a different parsha. So you have a different parsha break every pasuk?
Right.
You have a samach at every pasuk?
Yeah.
Right, so every pasuk is a new parasha. So it's a different, it's an independent thought. You're not going to mix two ideas. But when the psukim are the letters of the aleph beis are out of order, that forces us to connect the two together, to realize one is totally in the other. And when the Umos HaOlam say we did it, it's a lie. It's a big lie. They have no power. The one who has the power is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is influenced not by them, but by us. If we do tshuva, we do what Hashem wants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will automatically change world events for our benefit. The two of these things cannot be separated from one from another. Okay, the other idea that's very probably by Samach Aleich Oyev Hashem, we mentioned Hashem never ever takes simcha in the fall of Klal Yisrael. It's always Vais Samach. It's a very important word, Vais Samach. Hashem causes our enemies to rejoice. And, but that's only an external manifestation of our punishment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself does not have joy in witnessing our destruction. The keren of our tzaraich obviously is zelu mazeh. On our keren, we respond Shmon Esrei, the karnoi torum b'yeshua secha. We're always asking for that our keren, our pride, our glory shall be raised, and zelu mazeh, we do not merit, unfortunately, the keren, someone else's keren is going to be raised. There's always zelu mazeh. Klal Yisrael, what does it say? It says about I don't remember, the two different cities, the sister cities. If someone tells you that Yerushalayim, and what was it? Yerushalayim and...
Continue.
Is if one city is they both built, don't believe them. If someone tells you they're both Chorav, don't believe. But if one is Chorav and one is built, believe it, because Zelu Mazed, there's always going to be Kesh Zeh Kam Zeh Noifel. Yaakov and Esav. Kesh Zeh Kam Zeh Noifel. Rome?
I don't know, but what you're describing fits
them. Right, it fits a specific city. I don't remember what it is. Okay, whatever it is. But he is. Ulo'oim milo'oim yemots. Probably it says in the Rashi and Chumshe. Ulo'oim milo'oim yemots, kishazer kom zenoifel. That idea is brought in over here. That here it says, the enemy's keren has been lifted. Why? Because going back a couple of psukim before, it says by Beitar, we darsh the reference to Beitar, that our keren, Goda, I think it's Ois Gimel. Ois Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, this perek. Goda b'chori af kol keren Yisrael. So it's, don't make a mistake and think that our keren is cut down and the keren of the Umos Olam is cut down. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world. HaKadosh Hu built the world where it's zeh l'umazeh ulo'oim milo'oim yemotz. One nation's keren will always be prevail above the other. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. What? Right. That's exactly.
It's the zero sum game.
That's what it says over here. Okay. Let's go to Pasuk Yuches. Tzoak liba mel Hashem, choymas basiyon. Their heart cried out to Hashem, the wall of basiyon. Haridi kanachal dima. Now he's giving instructions. Haridi bring forth kanachal like a stream, dima, tears. Yoimam v'layla, day and night. Al titni fugas lach, do not give yourself respite. Al tidoim, do not be silent, bas einech, your eye should not be silent. Now it's very, on a very simple pshat before we go to Rashi, what's the, over here, the emphasis of tears and crying, and al tidoim bas einech, very simple, because that's, it's continuing with Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin is the eyes, because they put their eyes before their peh, so now the eyes need atonement. The eyes need that the peh came. The peh came before their eyes. They said things that they did not see. According to the interpretation we mentioned before, there was a lack of tzipisa li Yeshua. The eye represents the yearning. There was a lack of yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is the solution? The eyes are the part of the body, the organ, that need atonement. They need cleansing. They need refinement. And the way to refine the eyes is to cry for the Churban of Yerushalayim, is to bring forth tears. We mentioned before, Eini Yordamayim. We mentioned the two eyes. We mentioned the idea is that if a person has a wound on his body, he's in pain, he cries. So the eyes are crying. Why are the eyes crying? Don't hurt the eyes. But that's why Hashem made things. The eyes cry for the other organs, the other parts of the body. But what happens when a person has a pain in his eye? And he goes to the eye doctor. And the eye is in pain. And the eye cries. There, the eye is crying for itself. The eye is not crying for someone else, for another organ. The eye cries for itself. Eini yordamayim. The eye cries for the eye. Eini, my eye, eini yordamayim. It cries for itself. here the eyes are the ones that have sinned. There was a lack. The eye was put aside. The peh came before the eye. The eye had sinned. The eye did not do its job, its mission. Therefore, the eye now needs atonement. And the eye needs refinement. That is the command given to us here in Pasuk Yud Ches is to bring forth tears. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Ches says, Fugas, do not give yourself fugas, respite. Havara. Havara means to let it pass. Kamo, vayofog libo, his heart was faint. Don't let your heart be faint just to give up. You have to bas. Inayach shochar, what's the bas? What's the bas? Bas means the pupil of the eye. Shochar shal, ayin shochar, that's called peroin, whatever that word is. Okay, let's see the Targum Pasuk Yud Ches. Savach lipoyin kadam Hashem, let your heart cry before Hashem. Derechim alehoyin, so that he should have compassion upon you. Period. Shur yakar de tzion, the wall of tzion, zilge kanachla dimin, let it flow like a stream, tears. Yimav alelia, day and night. La tin, the law, sitnin, tanchumin lit saarayich, do not let your tsar, your pain, fawn, give comfort to your pain. Lefaygot seloisa to, now here he says, which here the Targum is something very important, to diminish your prayer. The prayer that you beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to restore Yerushalayim should never loosen up, should never be weakened. Your resolve to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He restore Klal Yisrael to Yerushalayim should never be weakened throughout your long galus. And the pasuk concludes according to the Targum, Di loch, that is to you, v'loch sishpeik einech milidimo, and your eyes should not cease from bringing forth tears. Now this pasuk is quoted by all the mepharshim, and we mentioned this before we started today, is don't be complacent in galus. Don't, in galus, the musar haskel is al titni fugas loch. We have a tendency to have complacency in galus. We're happy, we're citizens, we participate in our host country, and we have a good life. We find complacency. There's no need to come back to Yerushalayim. We're not in any rush. The pasuk here commands us, watch out. Al titni fugas loch. Here in the article, he really dwells upon that idea, and he quotes all the different sources, stories. That's the Musar Haskel of Galus. It comes from these four words. Al titni fugas loch. Don't be complacent in Galus. You have to, everything, al tida, you do not be silent. Bas einech, always cry, yearn for Yerushalayim. Let us conclude with one idea I found very interesting. The video of the Chofetz Chaim, I'm sure all of you have seen it, probably 50 times. How many times did you rewatch the video? Once? Okay, so they show the Chofetz Chaim, they show the different Gedolei Yisrael that came to this convention 92, 93 years ago, whatever it was. And then they showed you a very small segment where they showed you the inside of the convention center. Okay, remember that at the very, very end. They turned. And if you took note, there were two banners. One banner said, Beruchim Haboim. Okay? And then they kept on turning, and there was another banner. Sha'ali Shaloim Yerushalayim. Let me ask you a question. Living here in the 21st century, 2015, they must have, open up the Flapperstruth Journal throughout the year, there must be 100 conventions. Torah, Sorah, Aguda, OU, and YU, the list goes, Project Inspire, I can't even name all of these conventions. All of these get-togethers for every organization, they've discovered it's the best thing you can do for name recognition and to be mechazek the organization. It's a new trend today among all the organizations to do this idea, to have a Shabbos get-together in a hotel, a retreat. I haven't gone, I don't even think, to one retreat, Baruch Hashem, this year. But I'm willing to bet that at every single one of these conventions and retreats, not even by one of them, was there a banner that said, Sha'ali Shaloim Yerushalayim. We would say something more like, Sha'ali Shalom of the chef, to make sure he serves good food. Who thinks about Yerushalayim? Who's interested? Shali, Shalom, Yerushalayim. There is a convention that has such a banner. A big, prominent banner. Here, let me hear. Who? What? Kine. Okay. Shali, Shalom. Now, this is an Aguda convention. This was an Aguda convention 93 years ago. It's very telling. It's really, to me, that was one of the highlights of the video. Chofetz Chaim, certainly, but like, it's very telling of what are people thinking. What is you thinking about? Yerushalayim. Today you go to a convention, yeah, we're in Galus, we're in America, we have a good life, we have a nice car, we have money to spend on a beautiful Yerushalayim, good food, good speakers, inspirational speakers, are not going to give us Musar Chas V'Shalom, because we'll never let them come back if they say one bad word to us. It's inspiring, good stories. Yerushalayim? Listen, I'll go visit Israel, El Al, first class, when I got a chance, and stay in a 5-star hotel. Shali, it's very telling. No? Shali, Shalom, and an Aguda convention. Aguda conventions, they're not putting up these signs today. Shali, Shali, Shalom, Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says, that's exactly what the Pasuk says you should do. The Pasuk says, the Churban has come. Look at these powerful psukim. Look at what is taking place here. And what does it say? What's the lesson? The lesson is, Al Tidni Fugaslach. Don't give yourself relief. Don't enter into a state of complacency where, all right, no, not in my lifetime. Let Mashiach come when it comes. Right now, I'm happy where I am now. What? Of a Yofog Libo, ki lohem in lohem. He
it's hard to skip the beat.
Vayofog,
respite.
Respite. Al tidnei fugas, don't give your heart respite. Respite. Like, what does respite mean? It means like relief. Like, miyayish, okay. Enough is enough. I'm happy where I am. Shali shalom Yerushalayim. Seek out the welfare. Don't let it go away. It's telling what was and what is. Okay, let us stop over here.